The story is chapter 10, excerpts from number 1 Samuel 1 through 15. Elkanah had two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Because the Lord had closed Juana's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her until she wept and would not eat. Hannah prayed to God for a child, promising to give the baby to the Lord. Her prayer was answered, and she dedicated her son Samuel to serve in the tabernacle of God. When Elkanah went home to Ramah, but the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest, Eli's sons were scoundrels. They had no regard for the Lord. Because Eli's sons did evil in God's name, and Eli did not reprove them, God rejected Eli and his sons. God spoke to young Samuel, who grew up to be a judge and a prophet. Under Samuel's leadership, the Israelites defeated the Philistines and once again had peace. When Samuel grew old, the Israelites demanded that he appoint a king to rule them. So Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. A young man named Saul is chosen king. Initially, God is with Saul, and he has success. But when God commands the Israelites to destroy a sinful people, Saul spares the enemy king and allows his men to keep the fattest sheep and cattle. Elderly Samuel is sent by God to confront the obedient king. Then Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned. I have violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the men, so I gave in to them. Now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord." As Samuel turned to leave, Saul caught hold of the hem of his robe and tore it. Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to one of your neighbors, to one better than you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jeff. Now you get a break. I think you get to be done for a minute, and I get a turn.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Susan wants to sit by you. Oh, goodness. Lots of pieces today, friends. Let us pray. Gracious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. We started with Abraham and we went to Noah. Then we talked about how the slaves were brought out of Egypt and Moses and leaders like him that followed him, like Joshua. And then we talked about the faith of Ruth and Naomi. And we've been invited to think about how God has called God's people. This upper story of God desiring to stay in relationship with God's creation, with God's created people. And now today we hear a story about another one dedicated for God's work, who was called, who served, and then who mentored a new leader, Samuel. Samuel was a gift from God. Hannah prayed, and then she kept her promise. After weaning this unexpected child that she desired so much, she prayed feverishly for him. And when she got him, she gave him to be in service to God at the temple. She got what she prayed for, And then she kept her promise and gave him back to God. Samuel grew up under Eli, and he learned the duties and the faith of leading people in faith. And it began and ended with listening to God. Samuel's story begins and ends with listening to God. But as we heard, the people that Samuel was serving wanted more. They wanted to be like everybody else, like all the other nations, and they wanted to follow a king instead of a religious leader. So God gave them Saul to be their king. Samuel, still present during Saul's time, tried to accompany him, mentor him. In the stories of Hannah and Peninnah, in the accounts of Eli and the reports of the poor behavior of his sons, and in the appointing of Saul, we hear about how people tried to serve God. How people tried to serve God. There's some examples of utter obedience and some examples of people just doing their best but falling short. It reminded me that leadership is a difficult role. Getting into the position of a leader can come in many forms, right? We're accustomed to voting for leaders, right? Or sometimes it's appointing a rising star from within an organization to take over. Or sometimes we feel it wise to hire from outside the company for some fresh blood, right? We recognize that leaders can be in a place of authoritative dictation or nominated into that place. We're reminded that some leaders are dedicated, called, or plucked at just the right time to serve. Samuel was dedicated to God through the promise that his mother made and kept with God. Samuel was called by God, spoken to three times, in fact. Samuel mistakenly thought it was Eli, his teacher, calling his name, but it was God. Then, as part of his service to God, he was directed to choose Samuel, to recognize that the one that God was calling to be the next leader to this divine appointment of king. In reading the scripture today and preparing for our all-church annual meeting, I was reminded of how you, the people of Crossroads, have been commissioned and empowered to serve. Since the planting of this church, worship in a warehouse, the construction of this building, and now the debt of the building being paid off, many have been called to fruitful service through this congregation. As you have witnessed the calling of the Spirit to turn tap water into baptismal water, and as you've participated in welcoming new people into the body of Christ, you have been called to lead. You face challenges of hearing God's call, like Samuel did, not quite sure the voice. You've had challenges of getting others to listen, like Moses did. You have questioned, and yet you have obeyed, when the directions you felt were given were a little strange. Kind of like how the Israelites were told to walk around that city seven times and then at the end shout. Yeah, that was silly. But it worked, because it's what God called them to do. You've continued to pray like Hannah and so many, and have asked God for something more than you think you deserve. And today I'd like to consider the hospitality of Eli to a young boy that was dropped off into his care. How Eli was part and is part of God's story and part of our story. How we too have been ordained or blessed to serve in circumstances that might feel new, awkward, or even like too much of a stretch. I'm reminded that we've been called to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to hearing God speak to us, like Samuel was. And that we're called at times to move at the community's pace, and at other times, as difficult as it may be, to crawl at another's pace, or to go in a new direction. As I think about Saul and his uncertainty in leading the people and the words that he heard of, you have done a foolish thing. But all he was trying to do was understand what was best for those in his care, best for the work that he was delegated to. I feel for Saul. He didn't mean to make a mistake. I resonate with leaders that desire to build a special place to keep God so that they know where God is. Remember the Ark of the Covenant, right? Because they wanted to be near God. I hear the pain that Eli had when he understands the loss of the Ark of the Covenant. In that single battle, he lost both of his sons and his God, he thought. And he wept for the loss of his God. I understand the people's wonderment of what to do when that Ark showed back up. And for 20 years, they just left it sit because they didn't know. Sometimes we're called to confusing things. I wonder how we will continue to go into the world and participate in the work for which we are called, especially as we most come to that work with weights upon our shoulders. We each have things, feelings of inadequacy or needs of wanting to be amazed or invited or illuminated again. We all have baggage that we carry. And yet we want to just know that God is real and that God is here. How do we accept and live out our promises with God individually and as a church family? I wonder if we'll be like Hannah and we'll keep our word. Or if we'll be like Eli, faithfully serving and knowing that our own children are not adhering to the discipleship for which they've been called. I wonder how we'll deal with that. Will we let our allegiance to something else hinder us or distract us from deepening our own commitment to our spiritual formation? Will we dig into the Word and learn about the needs around us and study the accounts of Jesus and do our best to be like him and to take Jesus with us? Friends, I have faith that God has called us, not just in fulfilling commitments, but in a call to continue to be the hands and feet of Christ in this world, faithful witnesses as blessings to those around us. I believe that your faith, that my faith, that our faith together will allow us to see life here in this community and to recognize it, to get close enough to it to offer connection, community, belonging, and a place to live out faith. I believe that. I believe with God's help, we may be used to serve.